1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, 8, and 9. 1 Peter chapter 1. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Our Father, I pray that you'd be with us tonight. Help us to get a few principles out of your word that would help us to live closer to you and to be able to bear up through the things that we face each day, and help us to love you more and serve you better. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about trials and testings tonight. Now, I know that nobody out here, you're all the cream of the crop. I understand that. And your life goes just perfect. You have no trials, no testings. Nothing ever comes in your life that would ever throw you off kilter. But you can share this with somebody that it might be a help to. Okay? But trials and tribulations come to all of us, don't they? And let me say this, the closer you get to the Lord, the more they are, the more severe they are. When you're away from the Lord or turning your back on the Lord, most of the time you don't even recognize a trial or tribulation. You just have things in your life that you feel sorry for yourself for. And I was going to prepare a message tonight. What do you do when someone offends you and knows it? What do you do when someone offends you and doesn't know it? And what do you do when you offend someone else? And I was going to open and close with the same point. And I think I'm going to open this message with the same point. Suck it up and go on. Okay, you may as well learn right now that things are going to come into your life, and some of them are going to be very serious. But what do? Well, you just tighten your belt. Say, thank you, Lord, for the lesson I'm going to learn or will learn. Or if I haven't learned it, Lord, help me to look for something in this that will get me through it. Because the worst of things that can come into your life can be that very thing as a stepping stone to your height of spiritual maturity. Now, here in 1 Peter 1:7, it says that the trial of your faith. We are tried by trials. And I think that what this means is that it tests our faith. Now, there's going to be others that are real tests. But these are things to prove to ourselves. God doesn't need to prove to him. He knows our spirituality. And in case you didn't know that, you can't hide from him. He knows everything about us, from our getting up in the morning till we go to bed at night. And he even knows about the dreams we have when we're in bed. You can't hide from God. So he doesn't test us to prove us to him. He tests us to prove to ourselves. Trials are usually negative things that come up in our life. How often do you get a pay raise and you think, oh Lord, how am I going to handle this? You know, I've never heard anybody complain about that or any good things that happen. It's negative things that happen in our life that throw us off kilter. Amen? That the trial of our faith. The trial of our faith means proving. God always and already knows us, but he proves us to ourselves. This type of trial means to be put on the stand and tested for truth, like going to court, and the truth comes out, supposedly in a perfect court. And in God's court, the truth always comes out because he knows it before you get there, but we need to know it ourselves. And let's face it, you and I are very imperfect people in a sinful world. And until the rapture comes or until death comes, we're a work in progress. And we need to develop and grow and mature. But let me say this, I don't care how developed you are, how mature you are, how grown you are in the Lord, you can still be taken down a notch or two by the devil. And we need to be careful. Your faith, the trial of your faith. Your faith means fidelity, faithfulness, or the character of the one who can be relied on. How are we relied on? Are you reliable to your family? You reliable to your job? There's a lot of things we need to be reliable to. Our church, we need to be reliable to our church. We fall under the accountability of our pastor, who has to give an answer for us when he gets to heaven. That's a very serious matter. We need to keep that always before us, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. We live in a materialistic society, and I'll be the first one to tell you, I enjoy the things of the world, some of the things. I'm glad I was not born in Ethiopia, Libya. Need I say more? God has been so gracious to us because of America's faithfulness, but that is going downhill, and that's not always going to be here. What are you going to do if America, as is being told night after night now on the news, that all the Islamic Brotherhood is saying, now is the time to overthrow America? What will happen to us if they come in and they do overthrow America and begin to preach and teach the Sharia law, whatever that is? All I know is it's bad news to us. It's not anything like our law. Our law is based on the Word of God. Our Supreme Court justices are based on the old Levitical priesthood. When Moses, remember when Moses' father-in-law came in and said, well, why do you judge the people every day? Why not appoint some underlings that'll judge smaller things? What's our Supreme Court? The very same thing. If that's not biblical, I don't know what is. But the day may come that you and I may have to face some things that are some serious, serious trials and tribulations, and our gold and silver is going to perish, and it'll not buy us any more favor. And though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory, the trial of our faith. Tried with fire means testing or assay, like the when they assay the ore, the gold, and the things like that, means to test, examine, prove, scrutinize, to see whether a thing is genuine or not as metals. If you had that, and if I had that kind of scrutinizing over my faith every day, where would we stand? Yet God sets up there and knows everything about us. Boy, that's a really dreadful thought. But thank God he's gracious, isn't he? And he loves us in spite of ourselves. But we ought always to aspire to higher levels of spirituality. Never become complacent with what we are. And never give in to the things that Satan's thought of saying, well, it's useless. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. When I was young, I've always talked about here before when I preached that I got saved when I was 21 years old, a month before I got out of the Navy. But after I got saved, I look back. I think I was saved as a teenager. I remember the night, the place, the time. It was at the Methodist Church in Shelburne. But I think that's the night I got saved. But I never realized it. And boy, all during my teenage years until Connie finally got hold of me and got me straightened out, I thought it was useless. I wanted to live for God. I wanted to be right. But I had no power to do it. And as a result, I ended up just tossing in the thing and went, don't ever do that. Stay faithful to the Lord. Never disbelieve this book. If there's ever any problem, the problem is not with God, it's with me. And usually most of my problems in life are not with God and not with other people. Most of the time I can look right back in here and find the solution to whatever needs to be done. Tried with fire. And the conclusion of that is, after the examination to recognize as genuine, to approve and deem worthy your faith. Is it deemed worthy? Worthy of God? Worthy of His Word? Now we know in the flesh we're not worthy of anything. But whatever we submit to God, whatever we give to God, whatever we allow God to use becomes precious gold and silver, not wood, hay, and stubble, but it's building on that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and building a superstructure in our life to greater heights. Not proud and cocky, no, none of us are anything. But to God be the glory when we submit ourselves to God. What a blessing it is. Look at 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing is happening to you. Let me tell you, there's nothing taking you, no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. That God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I don't care what you're going through, somebody else is going through it worse. I'll guarantee you. I doubt that any of us in here are the worst of any category whatsoever. That the fiery trial, which is to try you, this fiery trial is like the refiner's fire to purify the calamities that test our character. See, you don't know what you are until God allows some things to come in your life. When everything's going well, and we all come in and pat each other on the back, say, hi, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. But what about when that tragedy comes in your life? How do you handle it? It could be a lost job. Your house could burn down with all the contents. If any of you have been in our house, you know Connie bought a lot of stuff. There's only one thing in my house that I would fight tooth and nail for, and that's my dog Lucky. For the cats we had, I've got rid of all of them but one. Forgive me, Connie. Sometimes you just have to take the bull by the horn and be the boss in your own home. Amen. The only reason I haven't got rid of it, well, two reasons. We got one now, a little black cat called Baby Cat. I can't catch her. So that's why she's still there. She runs and hides. But when I came home off of this trip, I was gone 10 days. She is coming up to me and making up to me big time. She may be gone tomorrow. The other reason I keep her because she is company to my dog, Lucky. And Angela comes over and feeds them and tends them. So they're doing okay. But the calamities that test our character. You don't know what your character is until you come up against it. And then are you going to stand or are you going to fall? If you're not putting your faith and trust in the Lord, depending on His Word, and depending on the Holy Spirit having control of your heart and life, depending on us and fellow believers. Listen, we're not an island here. And when somebody is hurting in the congregation, that's why we have the prayer requests up here. When somebody's hurting, we all hurt. I am so glad that you do that, because when I'm on the road, that's a tie to me. First thing Monday morning and Thursday morning, I get up and look at my computer and see who's alive, and hopefully none of you ever die. But one of these days, there'll be another death on there. But you're part of my family, and I want to know what goes on. I want to pray for you. And if I have something, I can call the pastor and say, put it on the prayer list. It's good to know praying, because that uplifts and helps to stay faithful, to stay true. And as my faith is tested, as your faith is tested, the dross and the slag and all the filth that comes off to the side, falls off to the side, that we come through as the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So we are tried by trials. Number two, we're tried by testing. Now the trials usually are negative things in your life. But we're tried by testings, and God wants to prove us, and this is could be positive or negative things that come in your life. Exodus chapter 16 verse 4, you don't have to go there. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. God, again, doesn't need to prove us to Him. He proves us to ourselves. Israel was not the best example to follow. Amen. They complained when they didn't have food. God sent the quail to them. I just read that in my devotions. I forget what was it. 2 cubits, 3 cubits deep of quail. You ever get tired of eating the same food? They did. They literally got sick of eating that. But they complained about the manna, so God sent what they wanted, and so on. He proved them, but He proved them in a wrong way. But many, many stood the test and got the manna. And on the last day, doubled up on it so they didn't have to go out on the Sabbath. A bunch of old backslidden Israelites thought, well, my goodness, I don't have to carry in 2 days worth. It'll be there tomorrow. Yeah, they found out, didn't they? God proved them. It was a positive thing to have manna, wasn't it?
Right.
But they couldn't even handle that. Exodus 20:20, and Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that His fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Sin is anything contrary to what God wants. Sometimes we in the church, we get things about sin is adultery and fornication and taking the Lord's name in vain and murdering and breaking of all the Ten Commandments and things. No, 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 no. My sin is very personal. And I know what it is. I don't need to tell you what it is. But God deals with me on it. And He deals with you on sin. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. When we know that we ought to be a good neighbor, but we ignore that neighbor for whatever reason. Well, he's grouchy and he's mean. Yeah, but he's got a soul that's either going to go to heaven or hell. And you may be the only Bible that he ever sees. And he looks at you as an old, grouchy Christian that wouldn't walk across the street to save his life if his house was on fire. What kind of testimony is that? Do you think God's pleased with that? I think not. So God proves us, and it can be positive things. What about not losing your job, but you get a promotion in your job? Double your salary that you're making here in Jasonville, Indiana, but you got to move off to somewhere where you don't know if there's a church or not. You've never been there. You don't know what the lifestyle is like. But man, you're going to make twice as much money. And that's the determining factor on whether you stay put here in a good Bible preaching church with your kids in a good school, being taught in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Sunday school teachers and Master's Club teachers that love your kids and go out of their way to see to their spiritual needs. But no, for a little bit of mammon, you'll move off up here and no church within 10, 15, 20 miles of where you're at. What do you do when those type of things? That would seem to be a positive thing, wouldn't it? I know when I used to be on staff at church and in charge of the visitation and the bus ministry, I cannot tell you how many times we went out and led somebody to the Lord, and within a month, they're offered a job on Sunday. They're not spiritually mature yet and can't handle it. And as a result, instead of coming back to church, they go to work on Sunday. God's come to prove you. Maybe positive things, maybe negative things. Now, what's the reason for his proving us? Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. God proves us not to satisfy himself, but to satisfy ourselves as true faith or feigned faith. See, it's easy to come here and we all rub elbows with each other and we all look like a pretty good bunch, don't we? Except for a handful of you. But I mean, you know, we look like we're all doing okay right here now. But nobody knows what's going on in our heart, what's going on in the secret places of our life. God does. To satisfy ourselves as true faith, not feigned faith. So we're tried by trials. That's test our faith, usually negative things. We're tried by testings, and that's usually positive things, but could be negative things. Third thing, we're tested or we're tried by triumphs in our life. Maybe our most vulnerable time is after a great victory in our life. Man, I just led somebody to the Lord. I'm on cloud nine. You think the devil's happy about that? Going to let you just settle back and gloat about that? You know, there is joy in heaven in the presence of angels. Most of the time they preach the angels rejoice. No, it's in the presence of the angels. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit just rejoice when you lead somebody to the Lord. Every time a little bus kid comes and gets saved, or the oldest person that's ever been saved here, there's rejoicing in heaven. But let me tell you, do you think there's not a lot going on in the pits of hell over the enemy that is snatching away what they think belong to them.
Right. Right.
See, if you've never witnessed to anyone and you don't pass out tracts and everything, devil doesn't have to worry about you. You think you're doing okay, that your neighbors can see you're an okay person. Devil doesn't have to worry too much about that. But when you start a track, or you start a conversation trying to lead someone to Christ, you find out the devil despises you. And he doesn't let you go too long. You need to be careful. When you think, man, I'm flying high. And we all have times in our spiritual lives like that, but we think, man, we're on the mountain now. Well, when you're on the mountain, you only got one place to go. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You better put your feet on the solid ground, the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and stand there and move nowhere else. Remember this, pride comes before the fall. Enough said. And then the next thing, we are tried by our thoughts. Tried by our thoughts. God is not in the thoughts of the wicked. If he is, it's only in a derogatory sense. I tell you, I watch Fox News, and every once in a while they have some of the absolute idiots on there. Bill Maher, did you ever see him? He's a Hollywood guy. He's an atheist. He's a Harvard or one of the graduates from up there that, you know, the elite that think they know it all, but I mean, he just puts down the Word of God and Christians as simpletons that need a crutch to lean on. I honestly feel sorry for the man, but I think in his attitude, we've seen other people saved. He could be saved. I don't know. But we're tried by our thoughts. Their thoughts are not pure and holy. Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. No, they have no thought of God except as a curse word. They will not acknowledge the creator of the universe, the creator of themselves. And were it not for God's graciousness, they could not take another breath. And boy, aren't you glad that God is God and not me? Or you. If it were you or I, there wouldn't be a person left on this earth, including probably ourselves, because I think I'd take me down about as much as I would anybody else. Amen? But the wicked don't have thoughts of God. But the Lord understands our thoughts. And 1 Chronicles 28:9 says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. As long as there's breath in the body, there's a hope of finding God. But boy, I don't want to take a chance. And I know I don't have to because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I see people that just blatantly blaspheme God, I feel sort of like who was the one that wanted to call down fire from heaven and burn them up? You know who I mean. Okay. When you're old, you have a tendency not to. at the funeral, Dolores Clay was right beside me at the casket, and I was getting ready to introduce her to someone. I said, "I forgot your name." At the sweetheart banquet, I introduced my granddaughter to one of you, and it got almost out, and I lost it. I've known her all her life. Got news for you. It doesn't get any better. It's only going to get worse. So if I come up and say, "Hi, brother, hi, sister," just indulge me. But God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And He honors us even in our, sometime in our infidelity. Now I'm talking about us as believers. God is so gracious to us. Amen. Matthew 15:19 says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies." Out of the heart. We always talk about the mind, but the Bible, it's the mind, the brain that thinks of it, but the heart, the center of the emotion, it means the same thing. But out of there comes all these things. And it is unimaginable to us what can come out of the heart of infidels. They call us as believers infidels, but let me tell you, I've never seen Christians take up swords and just go through town and slaughter the innocents. But everything about Christianity has always, always been kill the innocents. Started with Moses. Other times, and in the time of Christ, what do they do when the Son of God's going to come? They have no respect for life. What does America come to? There's no respect for life. Kill the babies before they're born now, not after. And should one of them accidentally be born alive, slaughter it afterwards. How can we expect God to honor us much more? I'm telling you, I think the rapture is just coming this close. And I find it hard to be fearful. I mean, over Sharia law and all that garbage. Listen, they may come in and they may start just slaughtering us by the thousands. I say, amen, come on.
Amen, that's right.
What are you going to do if they come up with a sword? Deny Christ or die? I got much more to die for than I'd have to live for.
Amen.
Paul taught us that. He said, "I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord, but it's needful for me to be here." And as long as God's got a purpose for me, He'll be here, and not one of them can cut my head off. They can't even cut a fingernail off unless God allows it. And if God allows it, I say, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Jeremiah 17:9, we need to worry about our heart. "For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" This is where thoughts originate, in our old, wicked heart. And when you understand it, you try to temper it by the Word of God. But why in some churches, and I hope not here, we all get our favorite seat, but I hope you don't sit on one side or the other, because an enemy is on the other side. But it happens. You know, some churches split over the color of the carpet. We shouldn't even care if it has carpet or not, let alone over the color of it. Some people leave church because, well, boy, I thought they were going to elect me deacon this year, and I got beat again. Nobody here loves me. Well, whoop-de-doo. Probably if that's your attitude, preacher would probably say, there's a door, don't let it hit you. I mean, none of us want anybody to leave the church. Pastor Jerry, I know you don't. But sometimes attitudes can be infectious to your family, to your children, and even to the body of Christ. Heart's deceitful. Man, we are mean, wicked people. Don't ever think we're the cream of the crop or the elite. We're the scum of the earth that we're saved by the grace of God. And don't ever forget that. And I want to close with this famous verse. We've quoted it often. The heart is where thoughts originate, but you can control your thoughts. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Controlled thoughts. That's why you need to keep your thought and mind on the Word of God. That's why we need to be, and I say you, I mean me, that's why we need to be praying one for another, lifting each other up in prayer. Darcy passes out that sheet with her Sunday school kids on it. How many kids have been saved in your class, Darcy? Do you have any idea? Bunches, huh? Probably because some of us have prayed. Not near as faithful as what we should be, but when I find that, I always go through and name the kids. That's what it's all about. Being a part. Okay. The Lord understands our thoughts. Means to take an account, to make an account of our thoughts. If we accounted of our thoughts in the black and in the red, like we do our checkbook, how would a checkbook of our thoughts add up? To reckon inward, count up or weigh up the reason to deliberate on something. Is it even worth your time? Gossip isn't worth our time. A lot of people think that gossip is passing on things not true. No, gossip is passing on slanderous things that have no business being passed on. And let me tell you, as a preacher, and just as a human being, I fight that. I just found out a preacher that I preached for up in Michigan has been gone for 2 years now. I met the pastor, the guy that had been in his church 41 years is now the pastor of the church. And the indication was, I don't know what happened, nobody told me, but the old nature, I wanted to ask something, what happened to Pastor so-and-so? And I fought it. Because none of my business. None of my business. Even if it's true, I don't need to know it. Amen? I'm better off not to know it. It hurt. It broke my heart when I heard about it, that he wasn't there. And I don't know. It could have been some little bitty thing. He may be pastoring someone else, or he may be out of the ministry. I have no idea, but whatever, it breaks my heart that he's not there over something like that. Another thing about thoughts, by reckoning up all the reasons to gather or to infer. That just means know what you're talking about so you can think right. Know what you're thinking about so you can talk right. To consider, to take an account, weigh, meditate on, to suppose, to deem, to judge, to determine, to purpose, and to decide. If we gave all that thought to every thought going through here, how much better off we would be? How often would we recognize that's of Satan and that's of God?
Amen.
And if it's of God, think on it. If it's of Satan, eschew it like the evil that it is.
Amen.
Amen? Seems like Satan is always around and trying or testing us. We must determine when it is Satan that is trying to destroy us, or if it's God trying to grow us. And sometimes there's a fine line in between. But the more you give in to the bad side, the less you recognize the difference. Wisdom comes from above. And we need the wisdom to know when God's speaking and when it's not God. God always puts up a blockade against the devil and his fiery darts. Preachers preached on it. Ephesians chapter 6, the whole armor of God. I'm not going into it tonight, but we just need to know that we need to be protected by the word, by our prayers, by our fellowship, and by our service. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight. I trust it's been a help and a blessing. And I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts tonight. Oh God, it's so easy to get caught up in wrong things, wrong thoughts, wrong actions, accusations against brethren that ought not be there. Lord, there may be things on hearts tonight that I've never thought of, never even crossed my mind. But Holy Spirit, work tonight and bring us to a place that we submit ourselves to you, that we rely totally and dependently on your word and the ministering of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're singing an invitation song. You may be here tonight, and you may not even be saved. If you're here, and if you're not 100% sure right now that you'd go to heaven, the first thing you need to do tonight is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I've adopted something that Pastor Jerry talked about, and I use it in almost every sermon that I preach with salvation. And that is the timeline of your life. You were born, and one day you're going to die. Somewhere on that timeline, you come to the realization that you were lost. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may not remember the date, but you'll remember the time, the place, and the event. And at that point, you received Jesus Christ and eternal life, and now you're on your way towards eternal life. If you don't have that day, that event, that time, that place in your life, tonight you can do that by someone taking the Word of God, just like the preacher did to me one night, showed me from God's Word how to be saved, how to know that my sins are forgiven and that heaven's my home. If you're not sure about that, you come meet. There'll be a man or two up here. Maybe you just need to come pray, if you would, as we sing an invitation song. Would you come?
Than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow.
Let's let the piano player continue to play. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here without Christ as your Savior, if you come to the front, just Come on up here, and I'll be glad to meet you and get somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Boy, Christians, wasn't that a good message for us? My goodness sakes. Boy, that's a lot of good insight there. Well, we can be tried a lot of different ways, and sometimes what's happening may seem like it's a positive thing, but it might just be a trick of the devil. You got to be careful. So many good things was given to us. Let that sink in as the invitation continues. Thank you very much, Brother Joe. That was excellent. That would be a great little outline. Wasn't that easy to remember, you know, and maybe to write somewhere in the flyleaf of your Bible from time to time, go back and just say, Lord, you know, some things are going on and I'm not sure what they are. Let me go down this checklist here and see what area of my life you're testing, and to be able to properly respond to it. That was an encouragement to me. I never thought about that we always think so much about a test being a negative thing. I thought that was a great point, that we've got to be careful that we just don't run foolishly towards what may seem like something positive, and it honestly could be the thing that the Lord or the devil uses to get us out of the will of God. So weigh everything, and that was very, very good for us. Well, we're going to dismiss in a word of prayer, and then we'll break into our prayer groups and our as we do at the end of every service. If you're here, you're welcome to join us. Ladies kind of group in the back in groups of maybe twos or threes and a minute at the front. And don't be shy. Just come on up, and we'll be more than glad to get you situated with somebody to pray. Let's bow our heads for dismissal prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for what we heard tonight. And Lord, I needed to hear that. That was a blessing in my life. And Lord, thank you for your patience. Boy, Brother Joe said it over and over again, but Lord, you are merciful to us, and you are patient, and you do extend much grace. And Lord, thank you that you grow us step by step. And Lord, you're there when we pass the test. You're there when we fail the test. And, Lord, you're there to help us either way. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to do the right things, to live in such a way that would bring honor and glory to you. And Lord, please grow us up in the faith. Pray, Lord, that we would go to higher ground, we would be stronger, and Lord, as we go on the journey of our Christian life, Lord, may we not be defeated by things later on that happened earlier, and help us, Lord, to learn through our testings, Lord, how to be better for the cause of Christ. Now, bless our prayer time, Lord, as we gather in Jesus' name. Amen.